Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go, Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin 6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. You never believe you're out of a game. Where does that come from?
It's having some pride, having belief.
And Dusty, the fan man, Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two on this Monday. AJ and Dusty with you. A little fair or foul for you. The New Orleans Pelicans are really mad right now. David Griffin, their VP of basketball ops, is saying that, hey, we let him down. We got Zion hurt. He's got a ring finger fracture. And he's going to be out indefinitely. And the Pelicans have used this as just a big time to say, well, his ring finger wouldn't be fractured if the officials just did their damn job.
Because we can't be sure when this happened, but it was probably because it happened all season.
Yeah, sure. Well, and, you know, it actually is a pretty good point because Stan Van Gundy, remember back on April 28th, he said this.
You know, I've had referees say to me, how many free throws has he shot? Like, it's a stupid question. It doesn't matter. Like, call it every single time he gets fouled. That's all your job is. It's not a matter of, well, he shot 8 free throws or he shot 10 free throws. There's nights he should shoot 20. So call it.
And that is kind of, they've been laying the groundwork in the framework of this, that Zion Williamson is big, he's strong, he's physical, and he gets fouled a lot. Well, they're using this fractured ring finger as the perfect time. Here's David Griffin.
And quite frankly, he's injured now because of the open season that there's been on Zion Williamson in the paint. He has been absolutely mauled in the paint on a regular basis to the point that other players have said to him, I'm going to keep doing this to you because they don't call it.
How should we feel about this with Zion Williamson? Because I don't know if, like, I get what they are doing. And David Griffin and Stan Van Gundy, yeah, they have to go up and stick up for their guy and say these sorts of things because you don't want your marquee franchise player getting hurt, a guy who had injury history before even getting into the NBA. But the reality is he is a freight train that goes down the lane and they're not going to call it every single time.
No, and this is part of it is that there is going to, like, Zion Williamson is already a superstar in this league, right? Because of how highly touted, because of his skills, all of that. And so every NBA superstar in the making sort of goes through this process of figuring out what to call and what not to call. But Zion is a talent unlike what we have seen, like a specific talent, unlike we have seen in a long time. And so there is going to be a learning period of trying to figure out how to call fouls against him. But I don't think we should be crying about that process because every superstar goes through it.
No, and he's a guy that if you look at how many free throws he does attempt per game, he's at 8, mm-hmm. which is pretty good. And I think that there have been guys who've been through the league, and I remember, like, here in Portland, we had to go through this with to a far lesser extent with Damian Lillard, because look, Zion Williamson gets fouled a ton.
Totally.
But it was, when do you earn that respect across the league to where you get more of those calls?
Right.
And that's going to be forever an issue that Zion has. And here's my fear with what Zion is going through is that LeBron James had a lot of the same kind of stuff when he was young and in the league. And now people say he flops, he flails. Well, he does that so he can get those calls. Mm. And there's a very real part of that, because at like 6'7", 285 or whatever Zion is right now, you're not going to get those calls because you are physically just so much bigger than everybody else.
Totally.
And there is an element of, you're never going to get that call all the time because of your size and how quickly he goes downhill and down the lane. But if he starts flopping and flailing, those calls will eventually start going his way. And one, it'll be a longevity and a respect thing earned from players and officials that you get those calls.
Yep.
The other is he's going to resort to something that everybody hates when they watch, which is flopping.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is a process. Like I that's why I say, like, it's something every superstar has to go through, and that's fine. The coach, you're supposed to take up for your guy. That's fine. But I just don't feel like it. This is not unique. It's not a unique process. This happens every single time a superstar is earning his stripes in the NBA.
And I do believe, though, there are a lot of times where if it's an obvious foul, it should be called, though.
Totally.
Because that is it's the skill set, and this is what's being misconstrued and why David Griffin is taking a ton of heat for this is because he's making kind of sound like we just want our guy to get to the free throw line.
Right.
Right. Well, they didn't draft him to go to the free throw line and shoot free throws, but they did draft him to be a monster truck that just goes down the lane as this unstoppable force towards the rim, because there are very few of those in the league.
Right.
And there's a couple things he can do. One, develop an outside shot, which he is not a great shooter.
No.
Or, hey, toughen up and just get to that line any way you can. And I like the way that he's handling it, because he is not complaining,
right,
like they are.
And I do like that too, because I think that it should be up to the coach to take up for your guy. But that's how Zion is going to continue to gain respect as a player, is you don't want to hear the player complaining about it quite as much, I feel like. So I think this is part of the process. I understand why Griffin's taking heat, but you also understand why he did it. And I think, you know, it's just part of it.
And he
Welcome to the league.
He would not get fouled nearly as hard as he does get fouled if he wasn't so big and strong, because when you have a guy like that, you don't want him to be able to go right through it.
Yep.
So the fouls are going to be harder on a guy that big. And
yes.
Sorry, man. That's just the way that the league is, especially when you're going so fast and so explosive. You know, when a ticky-tack foul happens, it looks like Zion is more of the aggressor than the person actually fouling him is.
Yes.
So why don't you think there's more coming out of, say, like Milwaukee?
I was looking at Giannis's.
Yeah, because like that's the only comp I could think of in terms of size. I'm not going to go to LeBron James because it's LeBron James and he's going to get calls. I'm also not going to go to Anthony Davis because I believe he's gotten to that level. And Kevin Durant got to that level like the third year in his league. So like the two guys that at this point it's like trying to feel out, should we foul him or not, or should we call the foul or not? It's Zion and Giannis. And so I wonder why there isn't as much kind of guff getting thrown out about Giannis.
Giannis is not nearly as physically imposing or explosive as Zion is. He is not. He doesn't look like a linebacker going through the lane. Mm. If anything, Giannis will try to Euro step, carry ball over the top, and avoid the contact. Right. I mean, it's not as nearly as an aggressive charge through the lane. Like Zion looks like a linebacker coming downhill.
I would relate his play actually more to LeBron in like the downhill mow through whoever happens to be in your way. That's how, but I think Giannis has more finesse to his attacking the basket.
Yeah, and I know there's the, you know, because I've heard the comparison before between
it's
how
young
Zion
LeBron.
Play. Yeah,
young LeBron.
But it's really not. Go back and watch young LeBron. Dude, Zion Williamson, I get it. It is power basketball, and it's impressive to watch. There's not a lot of grace in it, especially late in the game when he's huffing and he's carrying a lot of air. It gets back my butt up into defenders kind of stuff.
Well, right. No, we're talking about going down like the aggressive, you know, from the wing driving through the lane. That is like that does ring of young LeBron. But no, Zion Williamson is too big for his frame. Like, people have been saying that since he came in. Like, for basketball, like, he lumbers up and down the court. He is explosive, and he is a freakish athlete.
Totally.
But it's not as conducive to playing a 48-minute basketball game, you know, moving up and down the floor. I mean, it is his career and the development of it will be a fascinating one to watch, because LeBron did get leaner in his career. He did start developing way more of a perimeter game.
Yep.
And LeBron, young in his career, he did have the freight train going down, because he didn't have an outside shot, and he could not rely on his, very similar to what Zion does right now, is that if he was going to win a game, it was going to be getting to the rack.
Yep.
And I think, too, it'll turn into, and this is at least what it's seeming, and maybe if Zion Williamson, you know, either loses weight, slims down, however you want to put it, if he doesn't do that, I fear what's going to happen is that he will have the tag that pretty much Anthony Davis has at this point, which is you can't carry a team by yourself.
No.
Because Anthony Davis couldn't do it in New Orleans, and he had quite a bit of help. Let's just say that in terms of players. Now, the organization
did a pretty good job.
Yeah, the organization was a tire fire at the end, but like, he got pieces to help him towards the end, and it just couldn't happen. It wasn't until he got with LeBron James that he could really go over the top. I think that's probably the case with Zion Williamson at this point.
Unless he goes the LeBron path of taking ownership of his game a little bit more.
Well, at least he's not hitting people in the nuts like Luka is. Do you know?
I know you feel strongly about this.
I do.
I know.
He turned around and he popped Colin Sexton right in the sex parts when he in the game the other night. And then he had the audacity to look at, like, he was flabbergasted at the fact he got kicked out of the game. Dude, you looked down, you hit him in the nards, and then you got kicked out of the game. Seemed like it was a pretty reasonable call until Luka in the post game.
Hey, Luka, you know, we've obviously seen the replay. Just wanted to get your explanation of what happened on the play with Sexton that they gave you a flagrant 2 on.
I don't know. Like, after I saw the video, I knew I hit him, but it wasn't nothing on purpose. I think that kind of stuff happens a lot in the games, you know, but I don't know. That's my explanation. It obviously wasn't on purpose, you know, just two guys fighting for a rebound, I guess.
No, 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 not at all. Not at all. Oh. He went and he backhanded him. Like, the Marcus Smart one was way more, and Marcus Smart got the heave-ho, right?
Against the Blazers?
Yeah, against the Blazers. Yeah. His, I thought, was more explainable and more incidental than what Luka did, because at least he was trying to get through a charge, slipped, and got just a knee in the side of his face. Luka was just standing there, got pushed, and just turned around and tap. I would have been a lot more upset than Colin Sexton was.
I know. Colin Sexton didn't really seem like all that fazed by it in the replays that I saw. But, I mean, what's Luka going to do?
Not hit him in the nuts.
But what is he going to do in the post game? Like, he's going to be like, oh, yeah, it was intentional.
Yeah, I lost my cool.
What is he going to do?
You already got kicked out of the game.
Well, I know, but you can't admit to it.
I may be on board with, I think Luka is starting to become hateable. He complains at every call. He's cheap shotting in the nards now.
Okay,
it's a bridge
time.
Too far.
One time.
No.
He's not hateable.
I don't know. He's going down that line. So, I think he's going down that line for me.
So do you remember,
I used to be on Team Luka too.
Do you remember when he got hurt like year two or something? He was out for maybe like 2/3 of the season and he was on the sidelines, of course, for most of the games, and he was in street clothes, and they have a super cut on YouTube of his teammates making like these huge shots or big plays. And it's basically just Luka Doncic's facial expressions when it happens, where he's like opening his mouth really wide and rolling his eyes up and down at the top of his head, or like flicking his tongue around and like going like this with his hands, like pumping him up and down. It's like, I can't hate that guy. He's a friggin' goofball.
Yeah, I don't know that he's hateable.
Oh,
I mean, like, I
going
understand
down that road.
I know. I feel like you're being a little bit of a grumpy ghost right now.
No.
And let's be honest, you've hit somebody in the groin out of spite before.
Ooh,
I'm trying to think.
I think he has.
Have you?
Not out of spite. Like, in a game? Are you talking, like, in a competition? No.
Yeah, either or.
No, like we've had the, you know, the little tap game.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But.
So that's not out of spite.
That's not out of spite.
No.
That's just.
No, that's just fun.
That's just.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Old fashioned right. Idiot yeah. Fun.
Okay. So we're going to, we're going to put that, that one game. Outside of, yes. Of
outside
what we're talking
of,
about.
Yeah. Is that what we're doing here? Are we out of that purview? Because that's more of a game
oh,
than doing
dear.
It in a game.
Yes, yeah, I kind of thought that might happen.
You think that that is a spite game?
No, I had an older brother, and that happened a lot because he thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's really a terrible game. It's the least fun game to play for anybody involved.
It really speaks a lot to your gender's level of needing to be entertained.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Look. This is
far as real low.
It's not high. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Why do you think I don't read books? It's not a TV, so why would I have anything to do with it?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Why
put that thing
accent?
On the shelf. I got a 60-inch TV up on the wall there.
The
all
wall.
Right.
Wall.
Monday Musings. Local sports scene was on fire. Plus, Pihei makes an appearance. Next on The Fan.
Selling a little. Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, it is Monday, which means there's some things you may have missed in the world of sports. We may not get to all of them right here on this show, but we'll try to get to as many as we can. Right about meow with our Monday musings. Hey, what a great weekend on the pitch.
For the Thorns.
Yeah.
Not so great for the Timbers.
Yeah, they lost to the Sounders.
2-1. And lost another keeper in the process.
What?
Jeff Atanella down. All
with what?
TBD, non-contact injury.
Uh-oh.
Never good.
Never good.
So he's out, which means they got a 19-year-old goalkeeper.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. What's his, you don't know his name? Do
Hunter.
I know his name?
Hunter Sulte, I think is how
okay.
his last name.
19 Sulte. Years old. He can play, right? I saw that there's like a 15-year-old girl that practices with the Thorns and they're not letting her play. What the hell's going on there?
Yeah, I'm going to need to do more digging before I talk on that.
All right. That's fair.
Come back.
Because
put a pin in it.
All I've seen is that she's 15, can't play because of the NWSL rules saying you have to be at least 18, where there's no such rule in the MLS. Because yes. Wasn't like Freddie Adu that age when he played? I don't know.
Sure. Hunter Salt. Excuse me. He's right. From Alaska, but he went to college, or he went to high school in Portland.
Oh, nice. Well, good for him. Good luck to him. Yeah. All right. The Thorns, though, they had a big one on Saturday.
So fun. The Challenge Cup final. It was 1-1. Christine Sinclair had just a beauty of a goal. She's the GOAT. And then it went to PKs. This was the first time in Thorns franchise history that a game has been decided by PKs. And they had to do 7 rounds.
And they won.
And they won. Adriana French had the perfect save. It was a thing of beauty. Like athletic, elite skill.
Nice.
On display.
Take that, Gotham.
Yep. And then Morgan Weaver had the PK that won it for PTFC.
Mm. All right. So Thorns and Timbers both... Oh, wait. Thorns win, Timbers lose.
Yep. So Thorns start NWSL regular season this Sunday.
Oh, all right. We also had over the weekend Bob Baffert, who is a horse racing trainer.
Yep.
He's having some weird defenses right now. Medina Spirit, who won the Kentucky Derby, had tested positive for a low-level steroid, and it's not a banned substance completely. It is the ratio in the horse's system was twice the legal limit in horse racing.
Okay.
So Kentucky Derby winner fails the test. Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Racing Association, they come out and they say, it's under investigation, you know, right now it's under protest, but we're going to ban Bob Baffert, the trainer, indefinitely because of this. Now, here's Bob Baffert, who thinks that he's been wronged.
It's a complete injustice, and but I'm gonna fight it tooth and nails, because this horse, you know, I owe it to the horse, I owe it to the owner, and I owe it to our industry. And our industry needs to step up, and we need to do a better job in racing. There's something wrong right now with it. I've been talking about it. Nothing seems to be going done about it, but these contamination levels, and I'm not a conspiracy therapist. I know everybody's not out to get me, but there is definitely something wrong. Why is it happening, you know, to me? You know, there's problems in racing, but it's not Bob Baffert.
Oh my, okay, first, I'm not a conspiracy therapist.
This is good music.
Is conspiracy therapist one that like massages conspiracies and makes them
and then, like, sends
feel
them
more
out
comfortable?
Into the world?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Also, did you hear him saying horses?
Yeah.
It didn't sound right a couple times. it sounded like something else, which it had to make me do a double take. And then the therapist. I think he was trying to say conspiracy theory.
Yeah, no.
That guy, I think, has had too many.
No. I don't think so. I think this is a man who's feeling like he's against the ropes here. By the way, conspiracy therapist needs to be a drop. We need that for our drop page. But he goes, I don't understand why this keeps happening to me, because several of his horses have tested positive. Bob, I'm going to just throw this out here. The horses aren't going and buying and taking the steroids themselves, buddy.
This is a you problem.
I think that the reason why this keeps happening to you is that you're the common denominator here, man.
This doesn't happen to you. This happens because of you.
Yeah. That's what the tests are saying, right?
Yeah.
Now, needs to be clarified here. Justified, which won the Kentucky Derby a handful of years ago. Apparently, the California Board of Horse Racing, Justified tested positive before it won the Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And then Justified goes on to win the Triple Crown as they're doing this investigation. And all of a sudden, they just, like, dismissed it and it went away. Right? But, some shady things have been going on around Bob Baffert. And so he's saying he's not a conspiracy theorist. And I hope for horse racing's sake, none of this is true and it was a false positive. Because, like, here's the thing. It's horrible for horse racing.
It's really bad.
If you're giving these horses drugs.
Yes. It's not great. It's also really bad for the horses.
Yes. But he's also using this defense. Rick Bozich, who works in Louisville and covers horse racing and sports and stuff, He said, Baffert says one test issue was created by a groom urinating in the stall after the groom had been taking cough medicine. Horse ate some of the hay. Pee hay. Now, this was not in this case specifically with Medina Spirit, mm-hmm. the pee hay. Mm-hmm. But he's saying his point was like, hey, I've had a horse test positive because the groomer was taking cough medicine, peeing on the hay, and then the horse was eating the hay, which that's a whole other thing.
Weird things happening. Weird things happening.
Oh, man. All right. We will not be conspiracy therapists on this show.
No.
I will let you know that right meow. Elsewhere in sports, did you see that the Oregon Ducks are good at baseball this year?
I did see that.
They're ranked 9th in the country by the U.S. The coaches in the USA Today coaches poll.
Will, are you plugging yours?
No, Beavs are 27th right now, and they took 2 of 3 from USC over the weekend.
I just heard baseball and tuned out.
Yeah, that's true. but in the Pac-12, the 4 ranked teams, Ducks 9th, Arizona 12th, Stanford 13th, UCLA 22nd, Beavs just on the outside looking in at 27th in the coaches poll. And then Oregon State had a spring game.
They did, and this was very fun. Players played. A few of them couldn't because of COVID. But then...
A few? 14?
Yeah, well, I was just being dismissive. Spring game, whatever. Beavers won. Isaac Hodgins, though.
Yeah.
Proposed to his girlfriend at the end of the game, and she said yes. He said he was really nervous, and they did their post-game press conference together. Her name's Taylor Lawson. I think she's a student at Stanford. I think so.
Even though you know the answer, or you should know the answer, it is a nerve-wracking thing.
So I've heard.
Do you get nervous? Did you get nervous when you popped the question, Will?
Not really. Mm. We were in Hawaii, and I think
that when you didn't go outside?
In a tent.
No, it was in a shopping complex. No. I don't know. We were just walking around somewhere like on a boardwalk, and I think I made an excuse that one of my sandals was broken.
And then
I just did it.
There you go.
Cute. Look at you, Will.
Did you get nervous? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got nervous?
Yeah.
I wasn't too nervous because I knew the answer.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I knew it. We've been living together for five years.
So.
Like, fair.
Still like, man.
That'd be a hell of a place, though, to end it in Hawaii.
That's right.
Yep.
For me, and we'll talk coming up at the top of next hour with Carter Bonds from BeaverBlitz.com. For me, the highlight of the OSU spring scrimmage, Sam Vidlak.
Yes.
The freshman out of Hidden Valley.
Mm-hmm.
He's a true freshman, an early enrollee, was committed to Montana. Alex Brink has been telling me about Vidlak for a couple of years and being like, dude, this kid is special.
For real?
He looked like the real deal. The Beavs have got a good one in the Hidden Valley prospect.
Yeah.
He's going to be good.
Yep.
Very good. So we'll talk about that with Carter Bonds coming up at the top of next hour. Also, AJ will get mad twice in the final hour of the show.
Wait, what?
There's two things that will make you very upset in the final hour of the show. I'm very sorry that this is happening.
Monday.
Coming up next, though, late, better than never. That should be the new motto of the NCAA. First as well.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mark Emmert of the NCAA made waves over the weekend when he told the New York Times, the New York Times, that before as close to July 1 The NCAA will recommend that college sports governing bodies approve name, image, and likeness.
No, we don't clap for something that they should have done like a bajillion years ago. That's better. It's much better.
All right.
It's about dang time. The train has left the station, and this is Mark Emmert, like, holding on to the caboose, like, wait, I'm in charge.
Yeah. I think the NCAA, they really should change their slogan to better late than ever.
Yeah.
Because this is, by the way, why July 1? And he's not even guaranteeing that it's going to happen on July 1.
He's just like, look at me leading. I recommend.
New laws will go into effect that day in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and New Mexico.
Why was Florida the only one you said in the accent?
I don't know. There's just...
I feel like you missed a moment there.
Oh.
Georgia.
Georgia.
Alabama.
Mississippi. And New Mexico.
There you go.
Did you appropriate a accent when you were in Arkansas?
Appropriate an accent? Wait, did I pick one up?
Yeah.
Hold on. No. Well, you can't say appropriate the accent because you naturally will start. You hear it so often, it just naturally happens.
No.
She worked
live
in
there.
TV news, so I'm asking, did you put an accent on?
No. But I've always said y'all. I've always said y'all.
Hmm.
And then I have.
She's
friends.
Always shopped at Walmart.
Inaccurate. I have friends who live in North.
That's just like the Arkansas thing.
Well, it is. It's where Walmart started.
That's right.
They have very good Walmarts in Arkansas.
Well, isn't it the same store everywhere? Or do they have like...
No, it's different,
whoa,
actually.
They have superstores?
Well, like, I think it's like... I can't really put a finger on why it's better, but it is better.
I mean, there's better Targets around here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's bad Targets. But then there's good ones.
Why would there be... What?
Some Targets are great.
Yeah, but that's like saying the ones in Minneapolis. Are the ones in Minneapolis that much better because that's where their headquarters are?
I've never been to Minneapolis.
Good
to Minneapolis.
All right. Anyway,
so
sorry, distracted.
Again.
We got distracted big time.
Again. this is exactly what Mark wanted, though.
Yeah, it was. But they're going before July 1 is the one big date that they want to make sure they have something in place before those dates. But here's the problem. They're explaining all of this out in this New York Times article. And this is something you have said several times over and over, every time we talk about this. But they lay it out in this way. In Florida, for instance, colleges will be required to conduct financial literacy workshops for student athletes. By the
Smart.
Way, that is awesome.
Pro.
And there are some SEC schools that do that already. They have like, it's like a PE class, but like it's financial literacy.
I'm pro that.
But colleges in Alabama may forbid their players to cut deals with alcohol companies, while Georgia will allow for an arrangement in which players can sometime be compelled to share portions of their income with other athletes.
Which may or may not include previous athletes.
Yeah, which that's a whole thing in and of itself. But you take, that's just three states of the 14 that have some sort of either legislation approved or pending.
Yep.
And every state is written differently.
Yep.
And so the NCAA is in this position where they have to come up with an umbrella law that will make every single one of these states happy because they drug their feet for so long.
Yep.
How in the world, I mean, and really the question is how in the world do they do this?
Well, I don't think they do. I mean, I think you're going to have Congress do something that because there wasn't there also questions in this article that brought up like how far reaching the NCAA can actually be. Like, wasn't Greg Sankey questioning that? Is that, bylaw changes were drafted don't go as far as some of the state laws. So you're still going to have tension around state laws and NCAA rules. So that's why you at this point, you need Congress to step in and make a decision about something because the NCAA has failed to do the thing it's supposed to do, which is keep all of their institutions in line with policies.
They allowed it to get to the point where each state had to make their own mandates for, I don't know if it was hubris or whatever it was that was keeping them from, you know, passing this and just being like, name, image, and likeness will never happen. We all saw that this was coming. This was like the slowest moving car crash off the cliff ever. Yep. It's like you had plenty of times to get out and save yourself and everybody else, yet you're going to just drive this thing off the edge, and we knew it was all coming. The NCAA, we're finding is they have no teeth. They're toothless here.
We're not finding that. We've known that.
Yeah, but I mean, Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, is saying it. Like, yeah. he's saying they can't go as far as the states can now.
Right.
And now you have states trying to one-up each other because they know that it will be a recruiting advantage that a school in Florida can say, hey, not only can you, unlike Alabama, you could hawk, you know, White Claws, bro, claws out. But also, we're going to teach you what to do with that money and how to invest that money because our state requires that it happens. That is huge for a Florida school as opposed to an Alabama school, just that instance right there.
If I'm choosing between Florida, Georgia, and what was the other example? Oh, and Alabama, Florida. Mike, if I was choosing where I was going to send my kid, I would push him towards Florida to play football or to play volleyball or whatever. I would push him towards Florida simply because of those rules, because they benefit my kid much better. And you have to think, it's not just 17-year-olds you're courting here. You're courting their parents. You're courting the people who have their ear. And each state is trying to figure out how to win that favor of these kids and their families. And it's just another, I just feel like a broken record, because it is like the NCAA has been like sending this train off the edge of the cliff, and like one car at a time is going off. And finally, Mark Emmert's like holding on like, no, I can fix this whole thing.
Right after he gets his contract extension.
Hmm.
But really all this is, and this is a play out of the NCAA's playbook that has happened so many times before. At the beginning of this article, he says July 1, right? So he's on the record with the biggest paper in the country saying July 1, we want to get some in place.
Yep.
He also says the Alston versus NCAA case, which is a name, image, and likeness case that went in front of the Supreme Court. He also is saying that, hey, that ruling will not, that has no bearing on our NIL that we'll institute.
Yep.
It totally will.
It should.
It 100% will, because they will, and this is what the playbook is. They'll go back and say, hey, look, we even said it back in May. We're going to have something in place. Like, we've been working towards this the whole time, and we know that it's coming. And then the hangups will be everything that's outlined with all the states, all of the issues from one state to another. And they say, we can't have this overreaching, so we have to wait for Congress to do something. And so they're just going to pass the buck somewhere else. And it's a play out of the playbook to where they're getting some good graces and getting some good pub right now. But in the end, it won't go anywhere with them.
This is not good pub, for the record. This is not me putting out good pub for the NCAA.
Oh, I think it is for them, though. I think they're seeing it as, look, we're going in the right direction. See, NIL.
This is me calling them out and saying, you're doing it wrong again. This is not good pub. This platform, not good pub. I do not give you that.
I love it. 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. Hey, sometimes last place is still really impressive.
Yeah.
Next on the Fan. You know, sometimes taking last place is actually really impressive. And that was DK Metcalf over the weekend.
Yeah.
I tuned into the Peacock.
AKA NBC.
No, it was on the Peacock app.
Oh.
On the app.
Tricky.
Yeah. Because were you here? Or was it just Will that looked like at me like I was crazy when I said I like to watch track and field?
Like, I'll watch that. It was just Will. I'm a big Olympic sports person.
Yeah.
My brother likes to watch it. That's what I told you.
Yeah. But you were like, God, that's a weird move.
Did you also judge him?
Yeah, a little bit. Probably.
I can't judge you, because I say I love watching tennis. Like, yeah. I could watch the Grand Slams like all day, and people look at me like, why would you just watch like two people hitting a ball back and forth at each other?
I love track.
If you start explaining you could go down that hole with golf as well.
Oh, I totally agree. In fact, Dusty will admit to you, it's the greatest napping sport ever.
So great.
It is.
They talk so calm. They whisper you to sleep.
It's because otherwise they'll mess up the shot.
Yeah. Except for like a jet will fly over and they seem to be just fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah. But anyways, I tuned in because I was really interested to see this. And when it was announced when you were gone that DK Metcalf would be running at Mount Sack, I was like, you know, he's going to lose.
Yes.
Like, he's not going to win.
No.
But I didn't think he'd embarrass himself, and he didn't. And he took last place. He took ninth in his heat. But the things that you look at, and you, he was really impressive out of the blocks.
Really impressive.
And he held his own. I mean, and that's at 6'3", what, 237 or whatever he's listed at. My God, those guys don't fit into blocks very easily. And he ran a 10.36.
Very good.
And very good.
I think, listen, it takes a lot of gumption to just be like, you know what I'm going to try and do? Test myself against some of the best in an entirely different sport.
Yeah.
Like, that's impressive. And how many people tuned into track this weekend that never would have tuned into track?
A lot.
Good for the sport.
It is really good for
and
the sport.
And it wasn't a publicity stunt. That's important. Mm-hmm. Like, DK actually is very fast. We've seen it in the NFL. So track people knew this was not going to... He was not going to win, but there were enough NFL fans who were like, maybe I should just see.
Well, and here's the thing, though, is that like guys like Tyreek Hill, they should give this a whirl. It is great for track and field. Anytime there is a fastest guy in football thing, and that is a conversation, they should go out and in the offseason and do this because, one, you're training for your speed, and two, like their track speed is completely different than football speed, and that's where... Like, the most surprising part was the most technical part of the race was out of the blocks. DK Metcalf was good. Like, you knew that he would be explosive. Mm-hmm. You knew he had a long stride. But the reason why he was able to make that respectable is because of how well he was actually came out of the blocks for a guy who hasn't run track since high school, right?
Totally.
The big thing, though, is that there's a lot of folks that are saying, well, hey, if he just trains, he'd be right.
He has to lose so much muscle to get into track shape.
That is, he's like a 1/10 of a second. Like he needed to run a 10.2 in order to qualify, a provisional qualify for the trials. 0.16 seconds is an eternity.
Forever in 100. Especially in the 100.
Yeah, in the 100, 0.16 is a long time. So he would have a long ways to go. But anybody that is saying what DK Metcalf did by taking last or saying, oh, yeah, see, what he did was incredibly impressive.
I agree. And I think it was fun to watch. And there were a lot of people who were like, oh, 10.36, he wouldn't beat a lot of high school stars. And it's like, oh, again, like the point is he went out here, he tried something entirely new, and he had a great attitude about it, too. I don't think he didn't come in and was like, oh, I'm so fast, I'm going to be the best track athlete because I run football. He was like, this is an awesome experience. I'm grateful to be out here. I'm humbled to be among some of the best in the world. He had the perfect attitude to come out and try it because it was very much, hey, I recognize I'm coming into territory that is not my own, and I'm just here to give it a shot and learn from some of the best.
Yeah, whether you're first or last, he did not embarrass himself one bit. In fact, he earned a ton of respect from a lot of those people out there.
I think so, too. Again, because it's how he handled himself. He didn't come in there all like, I am a guy and I run fast.
If you... That's good. It was a good Leslie Knope.
Thank you.
I like that a lot. I want to see more of it, though. I like to see celebrity all-stars. Let's do this. But this is like in real life.
Yeah.
We need more of it. But sometimes last place. It's okay.
It's okay.
Sorry, just, hey, Ricky Bobby's dad, take it easy. If you ain't first, you're last. No, there's... You could take second. You could take third. Heck, you could take ninth place, just like DK Metcalf.
Impressive.
All right. Oregon State had a spring game. A true freshman shines under center. What did Carter Bonds think of the Beavs? Beaver blitzes own. Carter Bonds joins us next. AJ and Dusty on The Fan and the Odyssey app. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.